Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
But a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _ Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Check out Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls as well. And of course, that text and voicemail line that we have for you is open 24/7, 365 for all of your Bulls thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, inquiries. 331-979-1369. Again, that Locked On Bulls text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Well, as I said, I'm Matt Peck, holding down the fort today. Jordan and I are still going through our summer off-season phase of having some pretty conflicting, contrasting schedules, and we're looking forward to getting back on a more regular daily schedule where we can be on the mic together. More consistently as we get closer to Bulls basketball, which is actually not that far away. Obviously, right now, there's a lot of hype about the NFL getting underway. Go check out Locked On Bears as well. I don't know about y'all. I'm still kind of trying to get over that Bears loss to the Packers from last Thursday. Gigantic bummer. So much hype. That was a tough one to shake. As well as MLB getting closer and closer to their playoff part of the calendar. Check out Ryan Davis and Sean Sears, who do great work for Locked On Cubs. Cubbies trying to hang on, man. Trying to hang on to at least a wild card spot, but it looks like the Cardinals are running away with that division. A few different things that I wanted to touch on today's show. Just some housekeeping kind of stuff. There has been some small pieces of Bulls news, transactions, injury updates since we last chatted last week. So we will get to some of that. Also, some interesting lists that made that some Bulls players made. The Sports Illustrated's top 100 NBA players, they dropped the first 50 players, 100 through 50 of that list, I believe today or yesterday. And we have some Bulls on that list. We will discuss where exactly they fell in that the top half of that top 100 list for SI. And also a really interesting piece that came out, I believe it was The Ringer over the weekend or late last week, about Zach LaVine, our very own Zach LaVine, potentially leading the league in scoring? Like winning a scoring title? Leading the league in scoring? We'll touch on that. Plus, at the end of the show, I will highlight some of my favorite stuff from an amazing piece that you should all read that is out now on Bleacher Report. It came out earlier this morning, Monday morning, from a guy that y'all know very well. If you started listening to Locked On Bulls before myself and Jordan Malley took over as the co-host of this show, he is Sean Hyken. He is currently a writer for Bleacher Report, and he had an amazing telephone interview with the one, the only, the Worm, Dennis Rodman. Of course, famous for being part of not only the Bad Boy Pistons, but the second three-peat team for our beloved Bulls. Sean had the opportunity to interview Dennis, and of course, I know y'all are just as excited as I am for that Dennis Rodman documentary that drops on ESPN tomorrow, Tuesday night. The new 30 for 30, Dennis Rodman, for better or worse. So Sean Hyken talked to Dennis a little bit about that, about his NBA career, where he got his start, and a lot of other things, including the North Korea stuff, which is really strange. But so go check that out. They transcribed the interview that's available on Bleacher Report right now. Sean did a fantastic job with it, and it got me really hyped to watch that documentary that's going to air tomorrow night. So, as I said, let's start with some house cleaning stuff. Before we do that, wanted to give a quick shout-out to Indochino. Indochino is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. This week, our Locked On Bulls listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. I just went over and checked out their website. They have some real dope fly looking suits, whatever adjectives you want to use. They got some real cool stuff. I might have to get one. So go check it out at Indochino.com. So the house cleaning, two pieces of news that are relevant to this Bulls roster as we're getting closer to training camp starting on October 1st. That's like only 3 weeks away. Holy shnikes. So this came out, I believe, on Friday. On Thursday. I remember it came out on Thursday because I was getting so hyped up for Bears-Packers that I was like, I don't have the time to deal with this right now. But the Bulls' official announcement from their Twitter account, Chandler Hutchison suffered a left hamstring strain yesterday while working out and will be reevaluated regularly as he progresses through his rehabilitation. So, as if we weren't already worried enough about the depth at the wing spot behind good old Otto Porter Jr., who, let's all make sure that we send all the positive vibes towards OPJ as we're getting ready for this season, because that dude and his health is going to be crucial to this Bulls team being decent. To put it in as an understatement, we just don't really have any depth at that spot. It was the one move that I thought maybe the Bulls didn't make that they could have and should have made, was to add some depth. Heck, somebody was asking us on our text line just last week if the Bulls should go out there and sign J.R. Smith. And as silly of an idea as that is, it's also not entirely ridiculous, because that's how much the fan base knows right now that we are very thin at that spot. So much so that we'd be willing to go out and sign the hot soup-throwing man himself. I thought we were ahead. Yeah, that J.R. Smith. And so, behind Otto Porter, what do we have? We did see Shaq Harrison play the three at times when the Bulls went small last season, but that was, God forbid, basically the Bulls playing with some G League rosters and a lot of guards, because that's where they had depth. Hopefully we don't have to see much of that or any of that this season if people stay healthy. But other than Chandler Hutchison and Shaq Harrison in a pinch, your real only other option there is Denzel Valentine. And we don't know if we can rely on him, because that dude played 0 of 82 games last season. Talking a big game about making a comeback season, can be a reliable three-point shooter when he's out there, but he's not out there. So now to have this Chandler Hutchison injury update, knowing that he already endured a season-ending injury his rookie year, which didn't look all that great, pile it on. All the injuries that this team has dealt with, this roster has dealt with through the first couple of years of this rebuild, whether it be to key pieces like Zach LaVine and Markkanen missing time, or to some of the other role players. No one has ever been able to have this fully healthy roster, whether it was Fred Hoiberg or now Jim Boylan. And we were kind of hoping that maybe this would finally be the year that the Bulls would get a little bit of health luck on their side. Finally, maybe. None of this Markkanen hurts his elbow the first day of training camp and is out for the first 20 games of the year kind of luck. And now we get this news about Chandler Hutchison. So, fan-bloody-tastic. And look, it's just a hamstring strain. Hopefully it's not too serious. But we know the recent track record suggests that when the Bulls make an announcement about one of their players having an injury, sometimes the whole truth isn't really out there. Or even if it is, somehow the mild truth gets worse somehow. And the fan base has been crying out to have, you know, people replaced and new people put in place when it comes to the staff of this team's, you know, medical and training staff. And now we're just going to sit here and hope that this Chandler Hutchison hamstring strain is only that and doesn't get worse. And he's maybe hopefully ready to go for training camp, or at least by the time the season rolls around. Because we're also kind of quietly, we kind of forget about it, and I try not to think about it because it's stressful. But we're also kind of wondering about Wendell Carter Jr. this offseason, because he had to have surgery on that that core injury. So we already have two concerns about key pieces, you would think. Hutchison probably projects to be somewhere in that rotation this season. And Wendell Carter Jr. is your starting center. You know, and that's not even talking about Denzel. So, yeah, it's a real concern. And it happened while he was working out in their facility, in their building, as they like to say. Fantastic. Really, really important that our guys are in our building in the offseason, right? Minimize the risk of injury. Well, here you go. Chandler Hutchison hurt himself working out at the Advocate Center. Awesome. Super duper. So that's part one of the house cleaning. The other piece of news that we got over the weekend is that the Bulls waved a sad goodbye to Mr. Going Up, as we like to call him on Bulls Outsiders, a.k.a. Antonio Blakeney. What a gem this guy is. What an absolute gem. Just so entertaining. So many nights when I didn't feel like watching the Bulls play another terrible, disastrous game where they would ultimately knowingly lose by 20 or 30 points. But Antonio Blakeney, when he got out onto the court, was just such a great... You could bank on him for a laugh, a good laugh or two. Because that man, as my pal John Savide likes to say, it's like something's wrong in his head, man. Like he's got something going on. Because all that dude knows how to do is dribble and take pull-up mid-range jumpers. Like, that's all he does. And it's just hilarious. It's hilariously reliable. And clearly was never, you know, never had a big fan in Jim Boylan when Boylan took over. You know, I think Fred kind of enjoyed Blakeney's ability to be kind of a microwave scorer who could, you know, create his own buckets. And that's absolutely true. But the dude just doesn't know how to play within a system. He breaks the system. He takes over the system and says, this system is mine now, and the system is I dribble until I find a shot. Work with Bulls statistics over at NBC Sports Chicago. He followed it closely. This amazing stat about Antonio Blakeney's ratio of passes and shots. Not assists and shots. Passes made and shots. And here was Strotman after the Blakeney news dropped. Fun reminder. It took Antonio Blakeney until March 15th to have more passes than field goal attempts last season. It's one of the most remarkable stats in NBA history, in my incredibly biased opinion, but I agree with Strott. That stat is hilarious. On opening night in Philadelphia, Blakeney had 15 field goal attempts and 6 passes. That is absurd. God bless Antonio Blakeney. Twice as many shot attempts as passes. God bless that black hole on a basketball court. So look, we all knew that this move was likely coming. The Bulls dealing with the fact that when they did bring Shaq Harrison back, who is a Jim Boylan favorite, we're at 16 contracts. And, of course, have to get down to 15 before the season starts. And seeing as how it, at this point, is very unlikely that the Bulls would find a trade scenario and a trade partner for Chris Dunn, which could hypothetically have just been sending away Chris Dunn for maybe a, you know, a couple of second round draft picks, or maybe a late first round draft pick if that. The most likely way that the Bulls were going to get down to that, you know, that necessary number of 15 was to just buy out and waive Antonio Blakeney, who only had a little bit of guaranteed money on his contract. And the fact that Blakeney had that guaranteed money in the first place is just delightful. Wow. What a decision. So look, I don't think that, you know, Blakeney heading out of Chicago is a huge deal for this team. I wouldn't have really seen him getting a spot in this rotation, just considering the depth at the guard spot, considering that now it does appear likely that as well as Satoransky coming in free agency, and Coby White coming in via the draft, you got Chris Dunn sticking around until maybe they can find a trade partner for him at that February 2020 trade deadline. So, all right, you also brought Ryan Arcidiacono back, and as I mentioned, Shaq Harrison. So, let's see, that puts you at five guards. There wasn't a place for Blakeney on this roster. But, boy, will I miss him. What a stud. What an absolute, just, so reliable for a laugh, which was important. You know, and I'm only saying this partly tongue-in-cheek, but legit, it was important for us to have times to laugh last season because it was so brutal. And it was hard to watch. And to those of you who, like myself, watched all 82 of those gruesome games, I'm proud of you. Good for you. And I know that you probably got some enjoyment out of watching Blakeney play too. And hey, the good news is, if there are times, and let's hope there aren't, when things are just so bad and so ugly this upcoming season that we need a laugh, we still got good old Felicio on this roster. Good old Felicio. Also reliable when you need a laugh. So, those were the pertinent pieces of Bulls news that broke over the last few days. Moving on, hopefully we get good news about Chandler Hutchison and his hamstring strain. Of course, if we get any more updates about that, we will break it down here for you on Locked On Bulls. Okay, next up on today's agenda, I mentioned a couple of articles/lists that came out recently. SI's top 100 NBA players. I'm still mad at SI for predicting the Bears are going 7-9 this season. That is just ridiculously disrespectful. A lot of people saying, hey, here's more disrespect for Zach LaVine, who does make this list, but comes in at number 90. Some interesting names around Zach LaVine on this list. You know, the one that of course jumps out to me is Kyle Kuzma, ranked at number 96, because for some reason Kuzma gets compared a lot to not only Zach LaVine but also Lauri Markkanen in, you know, NBA Twitter accounts to be like, oh, which, you know, young star would you rather have and who's better. And if Kuzma was ahead of LaVine on this list, I was about to, you know, go march to SI's offices and demand an explanation, because that would have been ridiculous. But so you're going through the 90s. You got, you know, DeJounte Murray, Bam Adebayo, Spencer Dinwiddie, an old friend of ours, comes in at number 92 on this list. Another piece of that young Spurs backcourt, Derek White at 91. And here is Zach LaVine at 90. I think maybe some of this is the fact that this is essentially ranking players in the NBA as complete players, as two-way players. Because a lot of the people on this list ahead of Zach are maybe more known as competent or above-average two-way players, and Zach LaVine is still, and, you know, not wrongly, judged for his lack of defensive skill. And that's something that he has told us that he's trying to improve on and has spent the offseason working on his defensive game and has, you know, even shared some motivating quotes from his own teammates saying that he should be, by all accounts and by the, you know, the physical attributes at his disposal, a much better defender than he is. So I think that that could be some of why Zach LaVine only made number 90 on this list. But I mean, come on, like Danny Green is ahead of him at 89. And yeah, Danny Green is a pretty a pretty strong three-point shooter who has played important roles on multiple championship-winning teams. Back with the Spurs, you know, when they won it and, you know, killed off the Heatles in 2014. And just last year for the Toronto Raptors, sidekick to Kawhi. But, I mean, better than Zach LaVine? Come on now. Jonas Valanciunas comes in at 88. I don't necessarily have a grievance with him being ranked ahead of Zach LaVine. I mean, the dude's an all-star. Jeff Teague at 87, though? Like, come on. Would you rather have Jeff Teague than Zach LaVine? I know that, like, Teague is a respected veteran in this league, and he's just, you know, he's competent. He's not flashy. He's not great at anything, but he's good at least good at everything. I still think that Teague has been pretty overrated for most of his NBA career. And to say that he comes in ranked ahead of Zach LaVine on this top 100 list, I don't know about that. Iguodala at 86, no complaint there. Brandon Ingram at 85. Who would you rather have, Zach LaVine or Brandon Ingram? Give me Zach LaVine all day, every day, all 82 games of the season. I mean, yeah, he averaged 18.3 points for the Lakers this past season on a Lakers team that had all kinds of chaos going on around him. Now he's got a new spot. He's with the Pelicans, and who knows what he will be. Of course, you know, the Pelicans are a very new-look team this year. Not sure what to expect, but Zach LaVine averaged 5 points per game more than Brandon Ingram did last year. And it's not like Brandon Ingram gets all kinds of praise for being such a great defender. Nah. So there's another one that I would say I take issue with that. Al-Farouq Aminu at 84. Good player. Better than Zach LaVine? I don't know. And how about second-year player Jaren Jackson Jr. coming in at number 83? I mean, everybody's really hyped up about Jaren Jackson Jr.'s future in the NBA. And I think it's going to be good, too. Hell, I would have loved it if the Bulls could have stolen Jaren Jackson Jr. in that draft a couple years ago. Didn't work out that way. To say he's a better player right now than Zach LaVine? Debatable. I think it's debatable. Marcus Smart at 82. Marcus Smart is a solid player. And he, you know, he had a pretty good season. But better than Zach LaVine? Again, I don't think so. Who would you rather have, Marcus Smart or Zach LaVine? Give me Zach LaVine. One that Bulls fans are maybe still a little heartbroken about, Pat Beverley, Chicago guy, who would maybe some Bulls fans wanted them to go out and sign this offseason, comes in at number 81. Now, because of what Bev does as a two-way player, the importance he brings to his teams in recent years, I mean, I can see the respect that Pat Bev has around the league. And maybe that's another element to this list. Because our friend Darnell Mayberry, who does a great job covering the Bulls for The Athletic Chicago, pointed out, and he's the one who first shared this list that made it make its rounds around Bulls Twitter, is that Zach LaVine hasn't done any winning yet. And that matters when it comes to NBA players getting respect in this league. And not just among their peers, but among the media as well. Who made this list? A bunch of people at Sports Illustrated. How many wins did Zach LaVine's team have last year when he averaged 24 points per game? 22 wins and 60 losses? Oh, well, there you go. Because some of these other names, you know, Pat Beverley, he's usually, you know, whether it's been the Clippers or the Rockets before that, he's on playoff-bound teams. Or how about number 80 on this list, Serge Ibaka? Important player on a team that just won a title in Toronto. And has been on some pretty darn competitive teams throughout his NBA career. And then there are some that you're like, okay, well, winning and getting the respect for winning compared to just like how good of a player are you is some of the issues I have on this list. Like, say, oh, I don't know, Julius Randle at number 79. He did have a pretty good stat line this past season. 21.4 points, 8.7 rebounds, 3.1 assists. That's pretty good stuff. And who knows what he's going to do in New York. But I think that, you know, hey, here's a great idea. Let's sign 18 power forwards plan that the Knicks had this summer is probably not going to go all that well because guess what? That wasn't their plan. Their plan was to get Kyrie and KD, and they failed. So Julius Randle hasn't won anything. Is he worthy of being 11 spots higher on this list than Zach LaVine? I don't know. And then you get to some of the other Bulls who made the list. His Zach LaVine's sidekick, Lauri Markkanen, actually comes in 15 spots ahead of him at number 75. Interesting. I mean, Zach's stats were better than Lowry's last season. I think you could say that Zach had more dominant offensive performances than Lowry had last season. And like Zach LaVine, Markkanen is still known to be a ghost, a minus, a non-plus on the defensive side. So if these rankings are heavily factoring how good of a two-way player are you, interesting that Zach LaVine comes 15 spots shy of his younger teammate, Lauri Markkanen. Thought that was interesting. And then, ranked higher than both of the two young quasi-stars that Bulls fans are banking their hopes on, tying their hopes to for this rebuild to actually go somewhere, are the veterans. Thaddeus Young coming in at number 70. Between Josh Richardson and Caris LeVert. Interesting spot for Thad Young to be. A lot of people think he's too high on this list. But again, it goes to show you maybe that whole who has respect in this league thing matters. Thad Young is a very highly respected veteran who has played a lot of heavy, like near 82, if not 82 game seasons, and is well liked by pretty much everybody he plays for and everybody he plays with. And he is, guess what? A two-way player. Unlike Zach and Lowry at the time, at this current point in time. So, is, you know, as a glue guy for this team, as a glue guy in the NBA, is he worthy of being ranked 70th on this list of best 100 players in the league? I don't know. Seems a little high to me. And I do like the Thad Young signing, and I think it was a smart move for the Bulls to bring him in. And I think he's going to do a lot of valuable things for the Bulls this year. But to say he's the 70th best player in the league, wow. I think that certainly took a lot of us by surprise. And then all the way down at 57, among the Bulls, the highest ranked on this list, the one they got in a trade last season, Otto Porter Jr. coming in at number 57. Look, I get it. I think, you know, some might say that Otto Porter being at 57 is more egregious than Thad Young being at 70. I would disagree. I think Otto is accurately ranked here. We all saw what he did for this team when he arrived. The Bulls were an unwatchably bad form of not basketball. Even when Zach LaVine could pour in some points, or when Markkanen had a strong night, or Wendell had his coming out party against the Denver Nuggets in a game that the Bulls were actually competitive early on in the season. We had all those moments, but as a unit, the Bulls were unwatchably bad. Otto Porter Jr. arrives, and all of a sudden, what's this? The Bulls have one of the most highly efficient and highly rated offensive ratings in the NBA for a span of, you know, a month? And in that month, Otto Porter Jr. arrived and started playing basketball for your team. Add him to your roster, and all of a sudden you have like a winning record in the month of February, and you look semi-decent. It is the strong two-way play of Otto Porter Jr. and all of the smart things he did and the variety of tools that he has in his toolbox as an NBA player that make him that valuable, that made the Wizards pay him as highly as they did. Which a lot of Bulls fans had a problem with when that trade happened. Oh my God, Otto, his contract is so terrible. Well, he is estimated by some to be the 57th best player in the NBA. So he's paid like it. To me, that's not egregious to put Otto Porter Jr. this high on this list. And it's, again, like that Young, a two-way player, a role player, probably will be a player who has a lower usage percentage than, certainly a lower usage percentage than Zach LaVine. And for those of us who are Lauri Markkanen truthers and Lauri Markkanen stands, hopefully Otto will have a lower usage percentage than Lowry this season. But that's certainly not a guarantee. But even still, if Otto has the third highest usage percentage on this Bulls team, below Lowry and Zach, and they are ranked at 75 and 90 compared to Otto's 57, it tells you something about how and why people value two-way veteran players in this league. And someday when Sports Illustrated makes this list again in, say, 2022 or 2023, the hope and the plan is that Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen are higher on this list in the top 50 as opposed to the back 50. And ideally, yes, at that point, higher on this list than players like Thad Young and Otto Porter Jr. But right now, I don't have as much of a problem with that as I've seen from a lot of Bulls fans who are saying, oh, utter disrespect, Zach LaVine at 90. And yeah, again, some of the names that I rattled off to you that I did take issue with, that I think that Zach could have been a little higher on that list. But I don't think that him and Lowry being behind Thad Young and Otto Porter is necessarily wrong right now. Again, right now. This was not a list of most potential, highest ceiling. You know, we've seen those lists before, and usually Lowry Markkanen is on those lists, as is Zach LaVine. This is just top 100 coming into the 1920 season. And I think for the most part, it's a decent list. And then real quickly, before I get out of here for the day, the other piece of Bulls national story that I mentioned was a recent article on The Ringer written by one DJ Foster, whose headline is "The NBA's next scoring champion will be ... Zach LaVine ? I'm Ron Burgundy. I saw this and my initial reaction was what's that now? What? Zach LaVine? Like Chicago Bulls Zach LaVine? Leading the league in scoring? Yeah, no. I mean, there are some interesting tidbits in this column written by this this DJ Foster person. Notably, and one that I love, here's a stat. In his last 40 games of the 18-19 season, Zach LaVine hit scoring benchmarks of 22.9 points per game, 48.5% shooting from the field, and 41.7% shooting from three, that only three players in NBA history have attained over a full NBA season. Steph Curry, who's done it three times, not surprisingly, Dale Ellis, and Kevin Durant. Those numbers that LaVine hit in the back 40 of last season, that's the list of players who have done that over a full season. Dale Ellis, you know, okay, kind of random that he had managed to achieve that, but was certainly no slouch in his day. And two MVPs in Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. So, interesting tidbit, and I love that stat. And we did see Zach LaVine take a big jump last season. Career high, 23.7 points per game. All the while, upping his free throw attempts, upping his efficiency, his field goal percentage, and also showing us that he can distribute the ball a little bit and had a career high in assists per game as well. So I like all that stuff. To suggest that he could lead the league in scoring, you're asking him to maybe tick that 23.7 points per game up another 6 points or so. Usually the, you know, person leading the league in scoring averages about 30 points a game. But then, oh wait, what happened with James Harden this season? This past season, where he was just like, he had that tear where he was pouring in 40 a night for, like, you know, whatever it was like 30 straight games or something crazy like that. So being the NBA scoring leader is not as, you know, it's not as simple as it once was with all of the offense that this league has. So here it is. I just looked it up. In the 18-19 NBA season, Anthony Davis was third in the league at 25.9 points per game. Giannis, the league MVP, was 27.7 points per game, coming in second. And Harden, with that insane streak of 40-point games, averaged 36.1 points per game. 36.1. That is insane. That's young MJ kind of stuff. So the question is, do you think Harden's going to average something close to that again next season? Maybe not, with the addition of Russell Westbrook, his old teammate, now reunited in Houston. Maybe that usage percentage for Harden comes down a little bit. But it's not, again, it's not a guarantee. Maybe Harden does exactly that again and proves that he is continuously one of the harder players to guard, who, parentheses, gets away with traveling a lot, gets a lot of calls, gets the free throw line, and drains a lot of threes and averages 36 a game. Because if Harden does that again, then there is no way in hell that Zach LaVine is the NBA's scoring leader and scoring champion in the 1920 season. Because then you're asking him to increase his points per game from last season, which was a respectable jump in itself from the season prior, another 12 points a game. That would be a massive jump. And again, and it's something that this Ringer article highlights, you could see LaVine, who did get to the free throw line a significant amount last year and more than he had before, free throw attempts, a career high 6.0 per game. If you want to project the uptick in scoring, then you would probably also need to see that free throw attempt number make the biggest jump in any various statistical category for LaVine. Because a lot of times last season, I would be watching the game with John and Big Dave, and we would be like, okay, well, LaVine clearly got fouled on that drive, and he didn't get the call. Because players who aren't all-stars yet, players who are on bad teams, they don't get calls. It's the same stuff with that SI rankings that we were just talking about. It's the respect. If you have the respect, you get the call. James Harden, MVP, gets calls. Zach LaVine, not an MVP, not even an all-star yet, on a 20-win team, does not get calls. If the Bulls are looking like a more respectable unit, and Zach LaVine jumps out of the gate the way he did last season, remember, he jumped out of the gate scoring like 30 points a night last year, and the team fell apart, and then the Celtics game and the national media story about the mutiny and all that crap, and then nobody respected the Bulls for the rest of the season. But whereas asking Zach LaVine to go from averaging not quite 24 points a game to 36 points a game is absurd, damn near impossible. It's not absurd to see Zach LaVine going from 6 free throw attempts a game to maybe closer to 12. If he starts to get the respect and starts to get those calls and continues to be the aggressive guy attacking the basket that we saw last season. I mean, doubling his free throw attempts from 6 to 12 would certainly mean a few different things. It would mean that he's starting to get some respect. It means that it's certainly still his team and his offense that he's running. And who knows? With all those free throws and all those points per game and that respect, you might see Zach LaVine get his first All-Star nod this season. All of those things are possible. Zach leading the NBA in scoring, however, not possible. Oh, God. My hope is that he and Lowry are both upwards somewhere of 20 points per game, and that Otto is somewhere between 15 and 20 points per game, and then Wendell, and so on and so forth. And it's, you know, I think it's possible for LaVine to get closer to creeping up to maybe being a 30 points per game scorer, but I think a realistic expectation and a realistic jump would be going from 23.7 to maybe 26.7 or 27, which would still be a damn near impressive number. Because, again, the other leaders of NBA scoring last season, Anthony Davis and Giannis, were in that 26-27 range. Harden was 10 points ahead of them at 36.1. So that's, I think, the part where, you know, and maybe this Ringer column is suggesting that, you know, that James Harden 36.1 was ridiculous and won't happen again. If that does happen, and Harden is scoring 35, 36 points a night, Zach LaVine, no chance in hell at leading the league in scoring. And I would also hope that because of a big season for Lauri Markkanen ahead, and a big season for Otto Porter Jr., and a big season for Wendell Carter, that we don't need Zach LaVine to be scoring 36 points a night. God forbid we need that much points and that much production from Zach LaVine. we're trying to build a balanced young roster here, and we've got some pieces, finally, that are at least borderline enticing and exciting and have some potential. Zach LaVine being the scoring champion of this Bulls team would mean that a lot of injuries happened and a lot went wrong. So, interesting that Zach LaVine got this attention from a national media spot like The Ringer. And it's an interesting theory. But for the Bulls' sake and the success of the team, I hope that that Zach LaVine's not averaging that many points. Again, I would just like to see another substantial increase. 27 points per game from Zach would be great this year. And that is, you know, with my understanding and my hope, that that would also mean that Markkanen's averaging 22 or 23 points a game. Another respectable jump. So I was going to touch on the Dennis Rodman stuff, but we're already over a half hour, approaching 40 minutes. So I'm going to save that for tomorrow. Or actually, you know what? Might save that for later in the week, because not only can we react to Sean Hyken and the incredible interview he did with Dennis Rodman, but then we can also react to the documentary itself, which airs Tuesday night, 30 for 30 ESPN. Rodman, for better or worse, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to get the popcorn ready. Whereas most often these days we just watch something on the internet the next day after it comes out, I will be on my couch watching that live. I will sit through commercials. I don't care. I can't wait to see that documentary, because I'm pretty sure all y'all know I'm a big Dennis Rodman guy. I'm one of the guys I first fell in love with when I fell in love with the Bulls. You know, behind MJ, obviously, Dennis was my favorite player. And honestly, even in the dynasty years, at times I felt like Dennis was even more of a favorite of mine than Michael Jordan. A fascinating life, an amazing Hall of Fame career, and some really strange stuff off the court, not only during his career, but after. And again, Hyken did a really good job with the interview. I think he handled it very well. They touched a lot of different subjects. So go give that a read. It's up on Bleacher Report right now. And then later in the week, after we watch this documentary, we can all talk about it. I can't wait to talk about it with all of you fellow Bulls fans out there. So if you watch it Tuesday night when it airs, or if you watch it soon after the fact, I would love to hear your thoughts. I'm sure Jordan would too. So hit up that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369, with your reaction, your feedback, your thoughts about this Dennis Rodman 30 for 30 that we get Tuesday night. Can't wait. Can't wait to hear what y'all have to think about it. Can't wait to talk more Bulls with you as the season progresses, as the week progresses. We're getting closer and closer. Media Day, September 30th. It's September 9th. We're so freaking close, you guys. We're so freaking close. So, for my co-host Jordan Malley, who hopefully I will be on the mics with together later this week, I am Matt Peck saying thank you so much for listening. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_Peck. He's at Jordan C. Malley. We are at Locked On Bulls. And that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Until next time, see red, be good. Peace out, Bulls Nation.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.